All right, today we turn to the Gospel according to John and chapter 6, and we'll be looking at verse 35 in particular. We are starting a new sermon series, a 7-week series focused on Jesus Christ, who he is, what he offers, how he glorifies the Father, and how the Father glorifies him, the life-transforming power of Jesus, experienced as we follow him by faith, and the hope that we have for eternal life. And these 7 messages will all come from the book of John, which was written by the Apostle John, one of the 12 apostles, that Jesus chose to carry on his work after he rose from the dead and ascended to heaven. And this book has some unique highlights, as I know some of you are aware of. It has a captivating prologue, the first 18 verses, that introduce most of the main themes found in John that he unpacks throughout the book, such as light and life and the Word who became flesh. John is also known as the Book of Signs, which are miracles that Jesus did. John calls them signs because they're miracles that point to and help reveal that Jesus is Israel's long-awaited Messiah and the Savior of the world. And these signs also point to the eternal life that we experience in part now and in full when he returns at his second coming. But there's another unique feature in the book of John, and that is the 7 I am sayings that Jesus makes about himself. Multiple times in John, we find Jesus saying the words, I am. And some of those times, he's referring to himself in the same way the Lord Yahweh, the God of Israel, refers to himself in the Old Testament. You see that in Exodus chapter 3, I am that I am. However, there's 7 times in particular in the book of John when Jesus makes an I am statement, which includes a predicate, that is a clarifying statement that goes with the words I am and that tell us more about Jesus. And that brings us to the title of today's message. I am the bread of life, the words of Jesus Christ. This is the first of 7 I am sayings made by Jesus, some of which are mentioned more than once, but they all fall in with one of these 7 sayings. And these 7 I am statements are listed at the end of your sermon notes, which you can reference later on. And they help us better understand Jesus in the gospel, and they are as follows. Jesus says, I am the bread of life, the light of the world, the door of the sheep, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth, and the life, and the true vine. You can't get any greater than Jesus. And today we will focus on Jesus' words, I am the bread of life, here in verse 35. In John chapter 6, Jesus has performed 2 of his signs, or 2 of his miracles. He fed the crowd of 5,000 men, along with women and children, using only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And then he walked on water out to the disciples who were in the boat on the sea. And on the next day, some of those who were in the crowd came seeking Jesus because he had given them bread, physical food, through a miracle. But Jesus tells them to work for food that endures to eternal life, which is the bread of heaven that only Jesus can give. So the crowd asked Jesus to give them this bread, and here's what Jesus says, John 6 and verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Let's pray. We praise you, Jesus, the bread of life, who offers bread of life for us, eternal life. Hallelujah. You're the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. And you're the bread of life who fills our hungry souls. May we experience you as we feed on your word together. May you anoint the word of God being taught to our kids this hour. May you empower us for another week of witness and worship and working for you as we wait for you to return. And may you glorify yourself in our hearts and in our midst. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
First main point, Jesus is the bread of life. The crowds have asked for this bread that he's talking about. They came looking for him because he had fed them physical bread. Then he tells them the real bread you should be looking for is this bread of heaven. And they ask him to give them this bread. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And in these seven I am statements here in John, Jesus speaks metaphorically. That is, he uses examples, things from everyday life, to help us understand spiritual concepts. So things like bread, or light, or a vine, he uses to help us understand who he is and what he does for us. And the bread represents food. First of all, physical food. So it's not God provides bread for us, and Jesus even instructs us to pray that God would give us this day our daily bread. And that means more than just bread, but the food and the things that we need to live. And Jesus uses this idea of bread to represent what we need spiritually to be alive and to fill our hungry souls. So let me ask you a question. Are you spiritually alive? Do you have this bread? Do you know the bread of life himself? What do you hunger for in life? So a couple of thoughts about this, about Jesus, and then our second and third main point will be our response to him. Jesus is the bread of life, and let me say two things about that. First of all, because life is in him. Another way to put that is he is the living bread, which if you were to read on in John 6, that's what he says in verse 51. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. I mean, this is an unbelievable statement, but part of the reason that Jesus is the bread of life is because life exists within him. You and I had to be created, but life is within him and flows from him. John introduces this theme in chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. All things were made through him, and without him, without Jesus, was not anything made that was made. God the Father created everything through the Son. In him, in Jesus, was life. And the life was the light of men. And when we come to our John 8 message, we'll talk more about light. Moving ahead to John 5, Jesus says this, verse 26. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. Jesus is more than a great teacher, although he's the greatest teacher. He's more than a great example, although he's the example, he's par excellence about the godly life. He's the greatest one who's ever loved. He's the greatest servant. His death on the cross is the ultimate example of obedience to God and a sacrificial way of life. But he's more than all of that. And in these seven I am sayings found in John, we see another example of this, that not only is he a great teacher, he's the bread of life. He himself is where life comes from. And not just being physically alive, but spiritual life. Hallelujah. Have you seen the new Avengers movie? The enemy in that, the ultimate enemy in that movie is Thanos. And he's this superhuman person who's trying to acquire 6 Infinity Stones. And with each stone that he gets, he gains more power. And his goal, well, along with glorifying himself and ruling as king, is he thinks if he kills half of all life in the universe, then the remaining half will have it better, because there's not enough to go around, so to speak. So he's trying to find these 6 Infinity Stones, and with each one he gains more power. Sorry if you haven't seen the movie, but I don't think I spoiled anything for you. Unlike Thanos, Jesus does not need any Infinity Stones. He has ultimate universal power. Amen? And he has not come to destroy life. He's come to save life. Hallelujah. And part of what goes with that is he is the bread of life. Hallelujah. And one reason is life is within him. It flows from him. He has universal power. The universe exists because the Father created the universe through the Son. And spiritual life is made available to us because life is within him. That's how awesome he is. One other thing I'll say about this. Jesus is the bread of life as foreshadowed in the Old Testament. He's the manna that comes down from heaven. Back in verse 31, again in chapter 6. The crowd say to Jesus, "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Probably referencing Psalm 78, verse 24 there, which the psalmist is talking about what we read in Exodus chapter 16. After 400 years of slavery, God brings his people, using Moses as their leader, out of Egyptian slavery. And now they're in the wilderness. And God's plan was, as they wandered in the wilderness for a short period of time, then they would go to the promised land. It ended up being 40 years because of their rebellion and their refusal to trust God, and they were scared of their enemies. But amidst God's grace, as he brought them out of Egypt into the wilderness, he fed them. And he ends up feeding supernaturally with manna, bread from heaven. And they'd wake up each morning and there'd be this manna that had appeared. And he fed them, and it was a supernatural way. It was bread from heaven. And God did that for 40 years while they wandered in the wilderness until God's timing was right for them to enter the promised land. And here, Jesus is taking that real event and applying it to himself as something that actually happened, that the Israelites needed to survive, but it also foreshadowed, it pointed to something greater than that miracle. And that God feeding the Israelites manna from heaven foreshadowed the coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus has a habit of doing this, referring to things in the Old Testament that were real events and were important in and of themselves, and then applying them to himself. He does that with the Passover and with the Lord's Supper, where it now has new meaning because Jesus has come. And it's just one of the awesome things about Jesus. There's a lot of awesome things, but that's one of them. He is the bread of life because he has life in himself. He's also the bread of life, and this is foreshadowed in the Old Testament. The way God worked in the Old Testament had a purpose for the Israelites. But God chose to work in a way where he was setting the stage for the coming of the Messiah. I mean, it's awesome. And before moving on to our second main point, today's sermon might be a little bit shorter. Last night I pulled off a sermon under 5 minutes, and just because I wanted to give a little gospel presentation. We had great testimonies by Jacob and Naomi, and anyways, I just gave a short summary of Jesus' life. And partially to keep myself on track, I said, I'm going to give you a summary of Jesus' life. I can be a long-winded preacher, but I'm going to do it in under 5 minutes. And if I don't, I'll take you all out to eat. And I said, if you have a clock watch on your phone or whatever, you can time me. Multiple people timed me. And I pulled it off by the grace of God. But what was I going to say about that? Oh, yeah, just as a side note, I realized as I started, I was excited as I started talking, I forgot to look at the time on the clock when I started, so then I had no idea where I was at. So, but back to the sermon. All right, Jesus sees the bread of life. It's foreshadowed in the Old Testament. Let me, you see this throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and throughout the New Testament, references to the Old Testament. Two things here about reading the Old Testament and its importance. When we feed on the Word of God, and here let me say a word about the Old Testament. The Old Testament in particular, at this point, now that's more important, but I want to emphasize this. Because it can be, I don't know if you've ever read through the Old Testament or tried to or read parts of the Old Testament, at times you can get bogged down. As some motivation, let me say this. Here's two reasons why to read the Old Testament, along with the fact it's the Word of God. It helps us see the greatness and glory of God. Both as you read what the Old Testament says, but also then as you think about Jesus and what the New Testament says, you see more of the glory of God if you read the New Testament and if you look at Jesus through the lens of the Old Testament. And it's something that I mean, we can point it out and teach about it, which is important, but it's also something you just have to do. Feed on the Old Testament. And you start to get a bigger glimpse of the greatness and glory of God. Have you ever been bored with Jesus? I have. Have you ever been bored at a prayer meeting or during a sermon? I have. Part of that is our sin nature, and it's something we're going to have to fight in this life. But one of the things that can help is if we individually and as the people of God will read the Old Testament. And when we don't feel like it, call on God and ask him to give us the discipline and the desire and the joy to do so. And part of what happens is when you read through the Old Testament, your view of God gets bigger and bigger. And your ability to understand the greatness of Jesus increases, and sometimes without you even realizing it. And then you'll come to a passage like John 6 and read that Jesus is the bread of life, and you'll think about, wow, I read about the manna from heaven in Exodus 16, and your vision of Jesus just gets bigger because you fed on the Old Testament scriptures. Also, if you've ever had doubts about your faith, which Naomi shared about in her testimony last night, one of the things, it's not the only thing, but one of the things that can help is to be well-versed in the Old Testament. Because the more you read the Old Testament, by the grace of God, the bigger picture you get of God and His faithfulness and His greatness and His glory. And it doesn't answer all our questions, but you just have this sense and awareness of how awesome God is because you're reading about Him in the Old Testament. Well, moving on, main point number two. Whoever comes to Jesus shall not hunger. Again, in verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. This doesn't mean that if you're a Christian, you won't ever have a sense of emptiness, or you won't ever feel empty spiritually or whatever. But if you are a Christian, then that emptiness inside of you that is there because of our sin and our separation from God, Christ has come in. He dwells within us through the Holy Spirit. And He's filling up that emptiness. And again, it's experienced in part in this life, ultimately in the life to come. But here Jesus says He is the bread of life, and if we come to Him, we shall not hunger. We come to know the God for whom we were created. We come to know the God who we're created to worship, and there's a sense of fulfillment that comes with that. So a couple things there. First, knowing Christ is the only thing that can fulfill us, so come to Him by faith. Later in John 6, in verse 47, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. When Jesus says, I am the bread of life, and that if we come to Him, we shall not hunger, He's talking about faith. He's talking about believing in Him. And we cannot find ultimate fulfillment through money, through relationships with people, through sports, through music, through career, through whatever entertains us. Those things can be blessings in and of themselves if they're kept in their right place and in our hearts. But the ultimate fulfillment comes through a relationship with Jesus. And also, not just that fulfillment, but with that comes being spared from judgment of eternity in hell. Moving ahead to verse 48 to 50 in John 6, Jesus says again, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. It was a blessing, but it's not the ultimate bread Jesus offers. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. If you're a Christian, you will die physically, either as death as we normally think of it, or you'll be caught up in the air to meet the Lord, the rapture, and then your body will die, and you'll be instantaneously given a resurrected body. And part of that is, then you will not die the eternal death of separation from God, eternal conscious punishment in hell. Part of that bread of life that Jesus offers is that fulfillment and also being spared from that eternal death. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, knowing Christ, it's the only thing that can fulfill us. It begins when we put our faith in Jesus, but it's also something that we are to walk in. That brings us to a second point. Trust and depend on God to draw sinners to Jesus as we share Christ with others. So here, thinking not just about who Jesus is to me, but who Jesus is to the world around me and to the world around you. And here I want to say a word, because it's a dominant theme in this chapter here in 6, about our trust and our dependence on God to draw sinners to Jesus as we live as His witnesses, sharing Christ with others. In our one of the themes we have for our church is engaging the culture and embracing the cross. Eric referenced in his update to us, how did you say that, unengaged peoples? So part of our theme is we want to engage the culture. We want to be like the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 9, who said that he has become all things to all people so that by all possible means he might save some. So we want to engage the culture as we're embracing the way of the cross, following Jesus, denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following him. So we want to take seriously the call and to live in a way where we're putting worshiping God and being his witnesses above what we may want and amidst our sinful nature. So to go out of our way to share Jesus with others. But as we do that, we want to do so with an awareness that it's only the Father who can draw people to the Son. Verse 36 and 7, which comes right after Jesus says, I am the bread of life. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. The Father is giving people to the Son. The Father is drawing people to the Son. Up ahead in verse 44 and 45, Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. I want to just say a word about this here, because as we emphasize hungering for Jesus and so forth, this is an encouragement. And we saw a taste of this, in my opinion, last night with the summer kickoff. And to some degree, it seemed like some of these youth, it's like they just came out of the woodwork, or whatever that expression is. Where did they come from? And we don't know what seeds were sown and what will bear fruit unto salvation. But, you know, in your life, as you seek to be a witness for Christ in the ministries of our church or the ministries that you're a part of, parachurch ministries and so forth, we want to work hard. But sometimes it's like you can be laboring and laboring and not really sure what comes of it. And we need to encourage one another. But along with that, we want to remind ourselves that ultimately people coming to Christ is a work of God. They need to put their faith in Jesus. There's the human element of it. But we're also dependent on the Father drawing people to the Son, and the Son revealing the Father to people. And so as we think about proclaiming Jesus as the bread of life, just be encouraged, because this is a theme that goes with Jesus as bread of life here in John 6, that the Father is drawing people to the Son. We don't always know who they are. And that's why we want to seek to do all that we can to be faithful witnesses to the people around us as God gives us opportunities and open doors. And we want to do so in a way where we're trusting and depending on God to save souls. Hallelujah. So may we be encouraged. Well, where are we at? Main point number 3. Whoever believes in Jesus shall never thirst. Again, verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. An obvious theme that goes with bread. Now he adds to that, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. This idea of thirst and water is already introduced in John chapter 4, the account of Jesus having a conversation with the woman at the well. And here he brings this idea, this metaphorical idea, along with hunger. So that if we know the living Christ, our hunger is satisfied, our thirst is satisfied. So a couple thoughts with that. Knowing Christ is the only thing that can quench our thirst. So believe in Jesus and abide in him. In this conversation Jesus has recorded in John 4, he was with the disciples. They'd gone off, I think, to find some food in town, and he's weary from his journey, so he rests, he sits down at a well. And there's a woman who comes, and the hour that she comes is I think, the hot time of the day when the women would normally not come. But she comes probably because she's an outcast, because she's lived a sinful life. So she comes to the well when Jesus is there, and he engages her in a conversation and says to her, everyone who drinks of this water, meaning the well, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life. Our souls are thirsty. If we try to fill them with other things other than Christ, being popular, our image, our talents, again, our money, all these things out there, it can even be doing ministry, which we're called to do. But that's not what is to fulfill us. That's not what our identity is to be. And that's not what we're to quench our thirst with. the thirst of our soul. It's to be Jesus himself. We need to believe in him, an initial step of faith, and then abide in him. And we'll see that when we get to John 15, where Jesus says that I am the true vine. Feeding on his word, praying, being part of fellowship, obeying what we know, abiding in Jesus. And he quenches our thirst. Reminds me of a story when I was playing football. I don't think I've shared this for a while. I think I went all of last year without sharing it. And no one's been complaining, but before anyone complains, I thought I'd share it just one more time, at least for this year. So it was the first day of high school football practice, and I was not in shape. And we did calisthenics, we did stretches, and I was about ready to pass out. We hadn't really even started practicing yet. And it was hot, and it was early in the morning. And I thought to myself, yeah, I don't care what my dad says, I'm quitting. And then they let us get a drink of water. We went over, and they had these old pipes that I'm not sure we should have even been drinking out of, and the water's flowing out, and you just kind of leaned over and drank some water. Man, let me shake your hand. Thanks for that water, Nate. You are on the spot. And after I drank that water, I went from being ready to quit that day to I played for 4 years. Sometimes better than others. But there is a point to the story. When we come to Jesus, he quenches that thirst. He's the only one that can make it so that we never thirst again. In this life, we will still have a sense of thirst, and there we'll experience emptiness, we'll experience dry times. But the initial filling comes when we put our faith in Jesus, and it increases as we abide in him. But there's a day coming when that thirst will be completely gone. We taste of it in part now. It's coming. And that brings us to our last point. Trust in and be empowered by the Spirit, and rejoice in our coming eternal glory. One of the things that John emphasizes in the book of John is things Jesus said about the Spirit. In John 7, Jesus says, "Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. The Holy Spirit was at work in the lives of believers in the Old Testament, but he was not poured out in power in the way that he is in this age. And that's because Jesus had not come, had not died, and not risen from the dead and ascended to heaven. After that, the Father and the Son sent the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's trust in the Spirit, and let's be empowered by the Spirit, which comes as we abide in Jesus. And let's seek to have the thirst and the hunger of our souls be filled with the presence of God, with the presence of Jesus. We gather in a worship service, and we sing songs, and we pray. We go to a prayer meeting. We read the Scriptures. We fellowship with one another, and we share about the awesome things of Jesus. As that's happening, our hunger is filled with Christ, and our thirst is quenched. Hallelujah. And with that, let me just close by pointing out that these themes are all pointing to a greater day that's coming. In Revelation chapter 7, talking about this multitude that's so great, John sees this apocalyptic vision, and there's so many people standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb, he can't count them. And they've come out of the great tribulation, and this is what Scripture says. Therefore, they are before the throne of God in his presence and serve him day and night in his temple. In the age to come, we'll not just be sitting back. We'll be serving God, and it'll be the most awesome thing. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And then Revelation 22, the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. If you've not put your faith in Jesus and you're ready to do so, you can do that right now as we begin to sing. You can ask to pray with one of us before you leave. And if you are a Christian, by the grace of God and through the fellowship of the church, keep nurturing that relationship with Jesus. He is the bread of life. He's the only one that can satisfy our hunger, the hunger of our souls. He's the only one that can quench that thirst. And the glory that we taste of now is coming in fullness when He returns. Hallelujah. 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 Let's pray.